What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. This is one of my favorite. My amazing co-host, her name is Miranda Beeson. We switch roles today. Actually, she told me what we were going to do. We switch roles and she's the host and I'm the guest. And she asked me some very specific questions around how our core values came together and what was the story or the secrets behind them. And I share everything. I probably shared too much. Please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I get to hang out with the coolest people ever in hopes of sharing some great information with you to help you improve your practice and your life. And I actually don't even know how this podcast is going to go. I know a little bit about how it's going to go, but I've got my amazing co-host on today, the director of our director of education here on our leadership team and a brilliant human being and great friend, Miranda Beeson. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm so glad to be back. And I'm really excited to like turn the tables a little bit today and play podcast host and interview you.
Well, you're so excited, but I'm a little nervous because I don't know what we're going to talk about, really. Well, I have an idea. So take it away, Miss Miranda.
Yeah. So we're going to jump in. Yo. You know, our jam around here is core values.
I just thought
it would be really fun to let our listeners hear a little bit from you. Core values, you're so passionate about them and you spread with enthusiasm the passion for core values throughout our entire community. It's what all of our coaching clients start with, is that foundation of core values. And it's what makes our culture so special here in the BPA and with ACT. And so I thought it would be super fun to pick your brain today and just hear a little bit about what each of our core values mean to you and just walk us through a little bit of, you know, maybe how it came to fruition or if you have a cool story. And so we'll just kind of take them one by one and share with everybody that maybe isn't as familiar with our community a little bit more about core values and what they mean to us. So if you're up for the challenge.
I am. Can I do a little history lesson though on this? Okay. So, cause you're prompting a nerve here. And so if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, oh God, here they go with the core value. I'm going to turn this one off. Don't, please don't. I'm going to encourage you to listen because I was you. And let me go back in time. I'm going to go way back. Like that. That's my reverse voice. So I've always loved dentistry. I really do. And I love what we do. We're practice coaches. And so back in the early day, like I love people. And if you've heard me on this podcast, like I'm a clinically diagnosed wuss, which means I'm soft. You know what I mean? And if you would have approached me 25 years ago and said core values, like, what do you think about core values? I would have said, absolutely. They're super important. And if you would have dug a little deeper and said, explain them to me, how do you apply them? I would go, well, they're in here. They're inside of you. They're hard to explain, but they're kind of the fabric you're made from. You know, I use the analogy from Karate Kid, you know, karate here, in here, not here, you know. And I remember the journey that I took on this is as we started to grow ACT, it got complicated. And I didn't have core. Let me tell you what the world was like before core values. Before core values, I was just trying to be good to everybody. So you'd bring in dynamic people. There were no rules on how to behave. You honored everyone's opinions. You honored when they were upset. I had a lot of people that would come into my office and cry. And then I would go, don't worry, it'll be okay. And then I would talk to another team member and then go to another team member. And it was just a constant putting out of fires. Now, I don't want to discredit previous employees of ACT, because if you're listening to this, I love you. I just wasn't the right leader for you at the right time. I didn't know how to put my flag in the ground and say, listen, this is how it works here. I didn't have the tools to be able to do that. And it wasn't until we started leaning into the first operating system. So we got into the Rockefeller Habits per request of many of the friends that I had. And Rockefeller Habits, if you're familiar with it, is just an operating system. There are other operating systems. We now use Traction, which I'll talk about in a second. But we actually had a coach. His name was Marshall. And Marshall came in, and God rest his soul, he has passed, but he is such a great human being. He was intense. And I remember him saying to me, this is the smallest company I coach. Do you want to do this? I go, absolutely. He goes, well, tell me about your core values. And I did the whole, yeah, okay. And he's like, this is what he said to me, Miranda. He's like, shut up. I'm like, what? He's like, shut up. Like, this is, I don't even want to listen to this. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I'm going to tell you this as clearly as I can. We don't do anything unless you put the flag in the ground, write these. I want them on cups. I want them on t-shirts. I want them with decision-making. Like, it is the fulcrum for how you make decisions. Now, that hit me pretty hard. I was like, I don't know, this guy's kind of weird. Like, the whole core values thing. Because if you look at the evolution of core values, they were really strong. Then they got a little, like, flaky in the 90s, and people were using them in weird ways. And he sent me straight. He's like, listen, you only hire people for two reasons. I'm like, why? Number one, they fit your core values, meaning they know how to behave in your business. And I'll come back to that in a second. And number two, they get results. And I was like, well, I understand number two, but explain number one. And if you're listening to this podcast, let me say what core values mean to me more than anything. They're just behaviors. It's all they are. If you're a parent, you do this at home. They are clearly established ways of behaving. And I'm going to bring in something that I heard from a Mel Robbins podcast, which is my favorite thing of the year. She said, she had a guest on, described the most important parenting, you know, mindset you can use, which is this: all feelings are welcome, all behaviors are not. I want you to think about that for a second. All feelings are welcome, all behaviors are not. Sarah and I have raised who I think are four amazing kids, but I got this from my parents and her parents. They established very clear rules of behavior. Meaning, this is how we talk to each other. This is how we behave. The problem with core values I see in dentistry is people come up with these platitudes or these unrealistic words of achieving, like excellence, perfection. You know, they're altruistic and not, I don't even like if
yeah,
we.
But
were,
how do you measure behavior around these words?
You don't. And so, Miranda, like, I'm going to ask you, before we go into like anything you would add to that in the journey that you've had with core values or even prior to coming to ACT or now.
Oh, well, I mean, I believe everything that you just said. And I also love, as soon as you introduced that concept of all feelings are welcome, but all behaviors are not. And I think that's relevant everywhere in life. Like you said, so much of this parallels to home as it can in the office. And I think that's also what happens in life. We become friends with, or we feel comfortable around people who share our values. And the same thing happens in our office. If there's ever an issue or a challenge in the office, it's generally when something's rubbing against core values. If there's a team member who we just keep coming back to a challenge with, more than likely, it's something around the behaviors and how they rub against the core values in our practice. And sometimes we haven't identified those yet. And so again, when we start working with teams, if there aren't core values present, I can start to identify this common challenge. Just it's clearly because there's not an expectation of how we behave here. And a lot of practices will say they have core values, but if you ask, what are they? Oh, I have them written down. Hold on, let me look that up. Or, you know, they point to a sign on the wall, but that's different than them being truly woven into the fabric of the everyday culture in your practice. And so, I mean, I think that's something that is very strong in the world of ACT and where we're going with SmileSource and the BPA. It's just, we talk about it all of the time and we point it out when we see it. And we internally have connection, check-ins, feedback from other people on our team around how we are supporting or behaving around core values with the Right People Scorecard. And we share that and introduce that to our teams as well, because it really is important to make sure that we make very clear as a leader the expectations of behavior in our practice.
Yeah.
It's just like in your home. You're going to have so much less conflict if it's very clear from the leader, the parents, what the expectations are in our home. And it's the same in the practice. So, I mean, to me, that's what core values are, that compass that, like you said, you filter all decisions through them. You guide all feedback through them. They become woven into the fabric of everything that you do in your practice.
Yeah. And before we get into them, I'm just going to give you the listener, like, when you get this right, your whole life changes. Your business changes. Like, your happiness changes. Now, I know you're thinking, oh God, here he goes again. It is the single most important thing you will ever, 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 I don't know if I could say ever do personally and professionally. And let me say personally, the only way anything works for you personally in a relationship is if values match up. Your favorite people care about the same things that you care about. And the same thing happens in business. When you get what you care about, which are your behaviors and how we treat each other and how we act and respond, right, you start attracting the first person that fits your value. Then they bring another person. Then they bring another person. And each person stays, and the flag that you put in the ground gets bigger. It gets stronger. It, like, all of the...
Well, then you're not the only one shouting that 100%. Message anymore. Your whole team is spreading that message one by one by one. And then if that one person comes into the fold who doesn't fit, you can feel it right away.
Right.
And the whole team is able to speak to that. You and I talk about core values at home all the time. And I just got a text from another mom in our community, and she had my son out with her not too long ago. They were doing something, and she said, they went to dinner, and she said, I just have to tell you, Trent asked us at dinner, what did we do kind or helpful today? And what was our, you know, best part of the day? And I thought, yes, because be kind and helpful is a core value in our house. We have three primary core values in our house. And the fact that my 16-year-old son took the initiative to ask that question out to dinner with another family, it's like he's spreading that value out further. And the same thing happens to your team when you're the leader who believes to your core and what these expectations and behaviors are. And then you build this team around you, and it amplifies. And then they're able to spread that message and that culture without you feeling the weight of being, you know, I'm the only one who really gets it around here. I'm the only one who really cares. When you get those core values in place and you get the right people who also believe in those values, it just makes everything that much easier.
Yeah. What a great kid. I love that kid. You know what, Miranda, you could start a side business rehabilitating like children's behavior. We could all send our kids to your...
I don't know if I want to take that on, Kirk.
And they'd come back such great kids.
Hey, we're going to stay focused on you today, okay?
Okay, one more thing. Okay, so one more thing I want to add just about core values before we get into it is, like, you remember this. You spend 30% of your life at one place. It's called work. The bottom line is you got to enjoy what you do. And the biggest piece of that is you actually enjoy the people around you. Now, I'll say this clearly and confidently. Like, I don't like my team members. I love them. I care about them. And let me speak to the pre-core value team members here. They were all super talented, but when things got bad, I didn't keep them on the rails. They were free to treat anybody how they wanted to treat them. And man, I didn't do anything about it. And so as you can imagine, you had a team member that didn't behave well, attack a team member that was behaving well. And the one that was behaving well was one of my favorite, would just say, I can't do this anymore. I'm out, you know? You can't afford not to do this. And when you start to do it, I'm telling you one last thing, because I could talk on this piece for 30 minutes, is once you put the flag in the ground on core values, it's crazy stuff repellent. Let me explain. Every crazy thing you've ever dealt with at work, it all goes away. It just dissipates. It all just goes away. Like, you're like, I remember the crazy stuff of calling team members at night and texting them and having side conversations. All that crap goes away. It's weird. Wouldn't you agree, Miranda?
Oh, 100%. And the team starts to hold each other accountable. Like, you know, if you start to see it, and you don't have to, it's not a you thing anymore. It's a values thing.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to say, you know, point to that value and have a conversation about it than it is to have to go back and forth with a team member. So you're totally tracking.
Yeah. So where do we go from here?
All right. Are you ready?
So ready.
I'm just going to go through our core values and okay. I just want to hear from you a little bit, you know, go ahead and dig into that heart space, Kirk.
Oh, I'm going to dig deep on this one. Yeah.
So we say you should have 3 to 5 and we already broke our own rule because we have 6, but we're going to jump in because we couldn't not. So our very first one that I want you to share with us is give greater than get. What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Why is it important?
So a lot of this comes from my parents and my faith. My faith is very important to me. And so, you know, I've always believed like, you don't keep track of what you get, you know, always, I don't know who said this, but one of my favorite quotes is always receive without forgetting and always give without remembering. When you live in the world of like, find the joy in the give. I think there's a Zac Brown song, like just find the joy in the give. Like, don't even worry what comes back. I think God has the perfect accounting system. We're always rewarded in equal or greater fashion than we give. The problem is his timing isn't our favorite. So we don't know when this is going to come back. You know, so if you keep track, I think the first thing is when you keep track, you get in trouble. And when you're in a giving space, you're always creating equity with other human beings. People just go, it's crazy. I've heard other organizations. There's one organization, and Miranda, I've shared this with you. I called one organization, and the woman on the phone like gave me everything. She gave me the secret to everything. And she's like, we're a helpful organization. That's the first thing we do. It's one of our primary values. I was like, I love you. You had me at hello, you know, type of a thing. And then I'll do a shout out to Howard Foran, who, you know, has always been good to me. We don't fundamentally agree on a lot of things, and Howard's a little crazy, but Howard's always been like a good voice of reason at times when I see him at conferences and things like that. He was actually, I think he was the second or third person I had on the podcast. He's like, as soon as I said I was going to have a podcast, he's like, let me help you. And I was like, oh my gosh, who are you? He's like, let's do this. And he's like, can I swear on this? I'm like, well, my grandmother listens. Don't. And so he's like, how long are we going to go? I'm like, 30 minutes. So it was an hour and a half. I'm like, if you want to listen to it, go back and listen to it. But he was off the rails. And then he shared something with me at the end of the podcast. He's like, Kirk, come here. I want you to think differently. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He goes, most people in your position, they keep their cards to their chest. And they're like, you know what? If you pay me, I'll tell you what to do. Don't do that. Dentists are really smart. And they're not paying for your cards. They're paying for your trust. Like when you give to people, people will start to trust you and they can't do it on their own. They're going to look at you as the trusted resource. So like give, just freaking people want something, just give it to them. I've never forgotten that conversation. And like whenever I see him, I'm like, that's one of my favorite things. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't normally
and,
quote
and it. It could be time. It could be resources. Right. It could be philanthropy. A lot of times we kind of lean towards giving back in your community or something of that nature, but it could be as simple as a 10-minute phone call with somebody because they just need you for a few minutes and you're busy, but you're going to do it because
right.
you're going to, you know, you know, they need that and you want to be helpful.
Right. And let me give a practical example. So one of the things you have to do is you've got to call them out when they're alive and well, because give greater than get, it makes sense. So if you could picture this, you're listening to the podcast, we have the word give with a greater sign, the greater signs going towards
the big mouth alligator.
Yeah. is going towards the give and the small one is going towards the get. And so it's a very clear visual and, you know, oftentimes the best example of this around here is our video producer, Andy Conkle. He's probably one of the most giving human beings. That guy gives constantly. Like I ask for anything, he overgives. Like he's just the ultimate giver. And so you start to see examples of that. And we created a WhatsApp group chat for our core values. And when people see it, you got to call it out. So those are great things. And when we have clients that are like, I don't know how to do this. We're like, just give it to them. Just get like, help them, help people first. Any other thing you would add about give greater than get? Because I know that's important to you.
I mean, It's one of my most favorite ones. And I think because it doesn't come naturally to me, if I'm super honest, like I'm not a naturally altruistic person. I tend to be a bit more resourceful just as a human. I kind of am always looking for that, you know, exchange. And so what I love about that core value is that it helps me to grow as a professional. So coming into ACT, it was really easy to meet a lot of these other values. And the give greater than get was a little harder for me, just naturally. And I love that it has stretched me just personally to think in that way of you don't have to get something back to give to someone else. Yeah. And in turn, one of my favorite phrases now is that being helpful is one of my most favorite things to be. And it really, truly is. It brings me great joy to know that we've been able to help someone, even in the smallest way. If it's just, you know, spending that extra 10 minutes at the end of the day, putting something together for someone who couldn't find it. Or when we get to do really cool charitable things, Laura's wonderful on our team around the holidays and in our home office team of creating these really great experiences to be able to give back to the community, giving back to coaching clients. You know, they need an extra call because they're stuck on something. Yeah, let's do it. I want to be helpful. And so it's just a really great way to feel good. And what we give comes back. And what I've learned is that what we give comes back even more so. Yeah. You know, on the back end. And I think more people can lean into that as well.
100%.
Let's dig into the next one though.
All right.
Which kind of goes hand in hand, which is walk the talk.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about walk the talk and what that value means to you.
Okay. So we're going to go back in time. So we originally had 5 core values and then we had some new team members come in and they're like, how is this any different than this? And one of our core values, which is not a core value anymore, was do the right thing. And so we had do the right thing and walk the talk. And so we had a team member come in and go, how is that different? And I actually said to them, I don't know. Let me think about that. And so because do the right thing, I would think that we would always do the right thing. And that was kind of like...
It's that integrity. A lot of people have integrity as a core value,
yeah.
But ultimately that might just be a permission to play for you.
Well, and I was going to piggyback on that. So if you dig deeper in core values, which I started to do with Patrick Lencioni, he calls that permission to play, which is integrity should not be one of your core values. If you have to have integrity as a core value, you've got a lot of problems. Like that's like a given, you know, like, or honesty. Like we have honesty as a core. No. In order to get interviewed here and be considered for the role, you have to have those in place already. Do you know what I mean? Type of a thing. So like, so do the right thing ended up being like a permission to play thing. And what it further evolved into was walk the talk. Now, full transparency again, because I love you guys and I don't mind telling you this, like the biggest challenge in dentistry, and I mean this as a whole, is when people tell you to do something and they don't do it at all. Now, there's a couple reasons for that. It's one is like they can't or they've been trying and they just don't know how to. And that's fair. Like it's fair because I spent a lot of time in my early years talking about how to develop a team, grow a team, like honor a team, like develop a healthy team. And like the first 10 years, like I had a lot of challenges. Like I had very powerful team members making me and each other miserable. And while I'm out there trying to help other teams be healthy. And so what that meant for me, and this one was going to be the stretch. I knew walk the talk was going to be the biggest one, which meant everything that we do, we're going to do it. Now, I don't mean perfectly, but we're going to say, I tell anybody, like, and you, the listener, come any day to our office in Milwaukee. You don't need an appointment. Just show up and go, hey, I'm here. You offered. Watch us work. I hope you see us attempting really hard to do everything that we teach. And for me, that's a congruency factor because the congruency is important. And I'll give you the quote that I love the most that has been the genesis behind the walk the talk. And I wish I could remember who said all these. The easiest life you can live is when 3 selves are lined up. Number one, it's who you think you are, who others think you are, and who you really want to be. Think about that. Like, it costs the least amount of energy when those are as closely aligned as possible. And I don't think anyone is perfectly aligned, but when you say, this is the person I want to be, this is who I think I am, and I think this is who others think I am, and I'm hoping there's little there's little energy to do that. It's the most energy when I'm trying to be somebody I'm not, and I'm not who I want to be, type of a thing. Now, we're all on this journey, and please hear that as clearly as I can. I'm a human being. I make no one in the history of ACT Dental will ever make as many mistakes as I have here and stay employed. So,
I was going to say no one is perfect. I didn't know you were going there.
Well, I'm certainly not perfect. You should interview anyone in my family. They will let you know I'm not perfect. But that was the genesis for that. It's like, I want to be the person that I think I want to be, that I think others think I am, that I tell other people that I am. What would you add to that?
So what we say a lot is, as goes the leader, goes the team. And I feel like that plays a lot into walk the talk. You know, as a leader, I'm not going to, we even have it written out in this core value. Like, I'm not going to ask of you something I'm not willing to do myself. Right. And so it's really that same concept. And we layer that forward in that line of, as goes the leader, goes the team. I think that fits a lot. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. I'm not going to ask you to have productive conflict conversations or confront a team member if I'm not willing to do that myself. Right. And really starting to layer that in. We do weekly team meetings. We do write people, write seat scorecards within our organization, because we're not going to ask you practices that we work with to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. There's all these real tangible logistic things that can fit into this core value. But I really like the philosophical piece you just mentioned. I looked it up. I was trying to be able to tell you
who it was.
It says it was a Japanese proverb. I don't know.
You know how these things go. You hear them from a speaker and they're a little bit saying a lot of this. I mean, everything you're going to hear on this podcast is borrowed in some fashion or form. None of it is original. I want to add one more thing to the walk.
Okay, and then we got to get into Wii before.
Oh, come on. This is so much fun. I hope everybody's enjoying it. Is I think a big piece of this too is, if you haven't noticed, I love self-deprecating humor. I love humility. I never want to come at this as an angle. It's like, I know everything and I'm smart. I'm not. I am not a smart human being. I just surround myself with smart people. So in our meetings, in our videos, like that's who I want. I let people know, like, I'm not even close to being the smartest person here. I think a good dose of humility with that keeps you safe when it comes to walk the talk. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love that. And I feel like that's a good segue to We Before Me.
Whoa, segue.
Humility.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like you did that on purpose. Like, you set yourself up.
I don't even know what you're going to ask next. So
so the next core value, and it's actually one of my favorites, is We Before Me.
Right.
And so I think there's some humility that comes into play in We Before Me as a core value. So tell us a little bit about what We Before Me means to you and maybe where that came from.
Yeah, We Before Me is very much a family concept. You know, the genesis of that is like, we are all we. And so an identifier for me now more than ever, because we were able to give some terms to this. Now, let me give you a little bit, because this is all coming back to me. What Marshall did is that when I started to describe these things, because he took me through the core value, he's like, we're going to get these down. And I'm like, well, how long is this going to take? He's like, we're going to get them down and then we're going to let them bake, which meant we're going to see if these are real. So as I'm describing these feelings, he would say, give greater than get, next one. And I'm like, how could you be so trite about that? He's like, and then, you know, when it came We Before Me, like I was describing, like, I like people that are like into the team, like team. He's like, that's We Before Me. So he did help me specifically with the words, because he had done it with hundreds and hundreds of companies. He's like, I know exactly what you're trying to describe. That is We Before Me. And I'm like, well, let me go a little bit further. He's like, that's We Before Me, buddy. And I was like, okay. And he said, We Before Me is a family concept. It's the herd concept. It's the, and he taught me this. He's like, be very aware of people that go, I. They use the word I, me, I. You want to just kind of stay away from them. But the people that are into the we concept really, truly do care about the us first. And so We Before Me just speaks to, like, let's take care of us so we all benefit, not so just that I benefit. And I have a daughter that plays college volleyball. And that is probably the hardest thing in the world now, because everyone is focused on themselves. And when you can get an environment of people that truly love each other and work together as a we, and they think of we, and really what's more important than the words is the thinking. Like, you have to think like the we, Because there's a lot of times, again, eating a humble sandwich, like, I have a thought during this meeting. And I'm like, wait, don't share it. That's a me. That's an I statement. I'm just going to just bless everybody with what I want. That's not the important place for this. So I think when you have a core value like we before me, it speaks to the family first. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I absolutely love that. And also being a team sport person, I can't agree more that there's no one job or one person that can really carry it over to the finish line. And when you layer that into practice, there is no hierarchy. There is no one person that's better than another. The doctor cannot do this on their own. You need the assistants. You need the hygienists. You need the administrative team. And so this concept of team and this concept of we before me is, I think, incredibly strong within especially a dental practice. The anti-value, when I think of we before me, a lot of times when I'm thinking about core values or even helping people create them, I think of the anti because it helps to really solidify what that is. And it would just stand out really strong if there's a that's not my job right. kind of person in our organization. If there was ever someone who functioned or behaved in that way, they would just stand out because yeah. everyone on this team is willing to raise their hand and put a different hat on if they need to. I mean, I'll walk around with the camera and try to record some videos. I won't do it as well as Andy, but if he needed me, I would do it.
The example I use is Barrett, the CEO of this entire organization, cleans the carpets here. Like he takes out the trash. Like
It's his me time.
Like, you know, and again, that start, what you just said is so true. It's a thinking, it's a behavior from the top. It's like a, gosh, I think back in the old days of all the times I heard, well, that's not my job. They should do their job type of a thing. Like, let's do this together.
Us them is never going to be present in a we before me culture. That's for sure.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay, let's go.
This one doesn't feel as heartfelt, but I know we are passionate about it. Results driven.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how that fits into your core value picture.
Okay. Some people aren't going to like this one. Okay. So when we had the five core values, one of them was not results driven. And so that is really important. So I took to heart what our coach told us about like core values. They fit your core values and they get results. So that's one piece is like, I was going to put that in the document, in, you know, the fabric of it. So it could not be avoided. It's one of those things that's really important. And in the world of dentistry, we're practice coaches and we're not cheap coaches. You know, people make an investment with us. And a lot of times I have to sit down and talk with them. We have startup practices that haven't made a dime and they have over $1 million worth of debt and they have a baby and they have to trust us. I'm like, you have to trust us that this is going to work. And this investment sometimes makes no sense to them. But it's their insurance policy to ensure their future. Now, what that means to me as a business owner is a responsibility. I think we're all given, when you are given a fee, you are given a responsibility. And that includes an ROI, meaning we have to get you results. There has to be movement. And prior to ACT, like I could make you feel good as a coach and make you feel like you're on the right path. And back in the first 10 years of ACT, you know, some clients would get results, some wouldn't. And I would just chalk that up as like, wow, that was a tough year, but like they didn't make any progress. It's kind of where it was at. And most of it fell on me. Now we do a very, very detailed, you know, OGT, we watch metrics. It's much easier for us now to dictate how results can happen in an ROI. But I feel the response, it's more than, I don't know how to say this, like the results thing is, that's on us. I feel it's a responsibility we have. We've been given a lot of responsibility. And with that, we've got to perform. I don't ever want my fee to be a friendship fee, meaning it was so nice to work with you. It felt good and I feel great, but I feel like with that demands results. What does results driven mean to you?
So, you know, well, number one, I'm a very results driven person.
Yes,
I
are.
Love competition. I love challenge and I love a goal. So this one I love. I like to take this and help maybe somebody who's listening think about the practice. And for me, when we talk about results driven in, say, a dental practice, a lot of times we're looking at numbers. We are measuring data. Like even with you talking about the way that we help perform for our clients, we want them to see an ROI. we're looking at metrics to know if that's happening. It might be metrics measuring the health of their culture from start to finish. It might be metrics in terms of production and dollar amounts, but we're looking at metrics. And so what I talk to teams about a lot of times is it's hard sometimes to look at metrics if you're not a practice who has, because results driven or metrics or data can feel a little bit cold. But ultimately, I like for people to think of this mindset of when our metrics are improving, when the results and the data are showing gain, we know, and I love the word responsibility. I just wrote it down when you just said that, because we also have a responsibility to our patients. They're coming and choosing in our practice to come see us and be with us. And our responsibility is to take care of them in the best way possible. And we start to see them receiving a higher level of care in parallel with those data or results going up in practice. And I see the same thing with what you're saying and relating that to what we do and how you came about with results driven in ACT and in pro coaching is, you know, that responsibility. I can speak for being a coach. I feel a tremendous amount of responsibility to make sure that those that I am serving are feeling value in what they're receiving. And I think the only way to really know if we're making that happen is to be able to look at the results, look at some data, look at, and maybe there's numerical data, but maybe it is like you achieved that outcome, that heartfelt outcome that you wanted to achieve this year. You wanted to feel a higher level of business acumen and be able to confidently talk to your golf buddies about your business when you're out on the course. And if I was able to help you do that, to me, that's results driven, regardless of maybe what your production numbers say that day. But if that's your goal, then I want to be able to hit your production numbers. And so I absolutely love that. And it's one of my favorites just because I get fired up about hitting a goal. So.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll add about results driven too. We now have a team of 21. When you have, when you do this, you get one person involved. Like again, what Miranda said, now we have a team of people that are like focused on results where I don't have a better word, but maybe a little apathy in the first 10 years. Like, oh, they didn't get results. It's okay. You know, that's not okay.
Yeah, ambivalence, just kind of.
Right. Right. And one last thing, I'll go off the rails. You have to bring us on. I am not a fan of everybody gets a trophy. I hate that more than anything. I think we are ruining our kids by making sure they all get a trophy. You can ask Kinsey about this. My daughter, Kinsey, has a 7th place trophy from a swim meet. It's huge. I actually have a photo of it. I actually keep it in our kitchen.
Was there 8 people?
There's 6 lanes in a pool. There's 6. When she got it, I'm like, give that back. You don't need that. You don't need a 7th place trophy in a 6-lane event. I'm sorry. That's like,
you're so funny.
You know, well,
poor Kinsey.
Kinsey.
You made her move to a whole other state in high school. You made her give back her 7th place trophy.
Well, let's just say swimming wasn't her thing. But like.
Hey, but you know what? She is crushing it at life. And well, for anyone listening, Kinsey works with our organization and she is fantastic. She's newer to our team this year and we absolutely love her. So I think you did the right thing there.
Right.
You made her start earning those results. So that's great.
Kinsey, love you. So swimming may not have been your thing, but like she's heard this story many, many times. And so if you guys ever want to see the trophy, I have it. I can bring it in and just say, this is the problem with America. So like, I think there's a certain level of results. If you have a doctor and you have a, let's say you have a pathology. I'm going to expect that doctor knows how to get results best we can. Do you know what I mean? If I have a builder, I'm going to expect that they get results. If I hire a financial advisor, I'm hoping I find one that has results. So I think results driven is a core piece of a fabric in a business that does well. So
I love it. All right. Let's go on to the next one. We have 2 more to go. So always be growing.
Yes.
I also absolutely love, well, I actually love all of our core values. Isn't that crazy being that I love being here so much with you? But tell us a little bit about always be growing.
Okay, always be growing. Again, I'll give credit out to our coach. And that's the value of having a great coach because I could have spent a year to 2 years and gotten this wrong. But again, doing this with hundreds of companies, I was describing like what kind of team member I'm looking for. Like I like a team member that like likes to take courses, likes to read books, that likes learning that. And I talked for like 10 minutes, likes, you know, takes all of this on their own. Like if they find a solution, he goes, ABG. I go, what? He goes, always be growing. ABG, done. I'm like, no, I'm not even done telling you what I want. He's like, you're describing ABG, always be growing. You want people that are always, they're always be growing. And I'm like, okay. And I'm not kidding. That's how simple it was. It was ABG because it describes it clearly. Now, if you're a dentist, you know how this works. You've had a career of great people that you love. And when you tell them there's a speaker coming in on Friday, they go, let's go. This will be so great. Let Doc, let's do this. And then you got another employee that's like, do we have to go to this? Am I going to get paid for this? How much CE do we get? And is there going to be lunch? And do I have to stay through lunch? You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, oh God. Now that's not on them. That's on you. I tell people I don't get to interview anymore because they won't let me. Yeah, because I like people. I used to tell people in interview, I'm like, do you read books? Because, and if they would say no, do you take courses? And if they ever said no in any fashion, I was like, this won't work for you. If you don't like taking courses and reading books and you aren't like this, you're going to hate this and it's just not going to work out. And sometimes people will lie to you in that whole process. You get to see that later on. If they say, yeah, I like reading books, I'm like, well, tell me the last book you read. And they're like, well, I read, I'm like, you haven't read a book in a long time type of a thing. Now,
I used to do the same thing, Kirk, when I would interview people in practice and I would ask what was the last, you know, continuing education program that you took that you really loved. And a lot of times the answer I would get probably half of the time was, oh, well, I haven't gone in a while because my doctor never took us to CE. And that was a non-negotiable for me. If you didn't take the initiative on your own to seek out some. Now, I would usually follow it up with a like, okay, well, if you could tomorrow sign up for any topic that you wanted to learn about. And they were just kind of like, meh, I don't know. It was like, no, you can't work here. Because I worked in a practice. It was very innovative. We were always learning and growing. And we had a book club in the practice. We were always reading a book and talking about it at team meetings. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. You learn. Well, it speaks to what you said earlier, which is your core values attract the right people. And if that's what you're looking to grow and you're talking to somebody and they haven't read a book and can't even pull a name out of thin air, then yeah, it's going to be a problem in the long run for sure.
Yeah. So if you're a team member, like let's have some fun with this with ABG. Like let's say you're an assistant or you're a hygienist or you're a team member that works at front. You want to make the most money you can possibly make. You want to be the highest paid in your entire town. I hope you're listening to this and you go, yes. Then go to your doctor today. Sit your doctor going, come here. I just listened to a podcast. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the best assistant you have ever, ever had. I'm going to learn to take photos. Like there's no one you'll ever meet that will ever be as good at this job. And I am going to be so committed to that. I'm going to ask you to pay for it. Even if you don't, I'm going to go. And once I get there, we're going to renegotiate my salary. Any dentist would go game on. Like I would love it if somebody goes, I'm going to be the best you ever had. And I always tell my kids this, and they've heard me say this, like, don't ever ask the world for one thing. The world doesn't give you anything. You go out to the world and you become the best at whatever you decide to do. And you help people and you continue to be the best. People will call you and want to give you money. It's crazy. Like just be the best at something.
There's so much information out there.
There is.
Go. Yeah. Go get it.
But that speaks to an ABG mindset and value system. So to sum up ABG, I want to be surrounded by a group of people. When we pass out a book, they go, oh, this is cool. Or we take a course. They go, that was fantastic. You know what I mean? They're thirsting for the next course, the next learning, the next something. What, anything you would add to ABG, Miranda?
No, I think that was perfect. And I feel like you're just, you said you weren't ready for this podcast.
I'm just getting started.
You were.
This is my favorite.
I'd actually, just so you guys know, I did not give Kirk a heads up on the order or anything that we were going to talk about today, but you're doing a great job of setting us up because our next value that I want to dig into is all in attitude. Right. And I think what you just said around ABG feeds into that as well. When you have this drive and thirst to do everything that you can to be the best, I think that feeds into all in attitude. And so I know this is your king value.
Yeah.
So I saved the best for last. And I want to hear a little bit about what does all in attitude mean to you? How did it how did that end up being interwoven into the values of ACT?
Yeah, I often call this my king value, and I don't even know that that's a term. I just call it my king value, meaning—
You can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want because—
The beauty of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, the first logo that we created, I wanted it to be at the top, almost like the North Star. And so— And I'll tell you where I started. I started with Miranda mentioned anti-value. Like I started with all the things I didn't like about what was going on. And I started to describe like, I don't even remember, but it wasn't a healthy thought process. And with the help of my coach, he's like, that's called all in. It's called an all in attitude. And what I mean by all in is like people that, you know, it's often referred to as ride or die. It's like all in, man. I'm all in. I don't even know what we do, but I'm all in on who we are and how we get there. And for a couple of reasons, all in attitude speaks to like, I want people that want to be there. Now, there's many organizations that have done this. Most notably, you know, Amazon does this in their hiring process. They actually offer people a check to leave. Because if they're on the fence about this, they have found with the data, it's easier to let them go than it is to retain them because they want people that are, now Amazon has their fair share of problems. If you guys are familiar with Zappos has had a great run, but they actually offer people a check to quit once they finish training. Meaning like, here's a big check to quit. And people are perplexed by that. They're like, that's a pretty big check. And they're like, yep, take it. And we'll call it a day because beyond here, we need you all in. Like we want you to, all in attitude is this. I want people that want to be here. I want them to go, this isn't a job for me. I really want this. Like what? I have so many stories, but Lindsay, who you referred to us, she said, I will be the freaking janitor. I'm like, we don't need a janitor, but like, I think you'd be great at a lot of things here. She's like, I just want a job here. Like, that speaks to all in attitude. All in attitude is greater than we, you know, we before me. It speaks to like, I am all in on who we are, where we're going. I'll add a couple concepts. Like one of the things that we teach internally and externally is alignment and agreement are not the same thing. So Barrett and I don't always agree, but we are going to be aligned. And that is my value system of all in attitude. Like I love this family, this work family. I'm all in on where we're going, who we are, all that kind of stuff. And that's hard to earn. It's very hard to earn. It starts with your behavior at the top, but it's one of those things, all in attitude, all in, all hands on deck. Like Barrett just sent down an email, all hands on deck. Now, it doesn't mean the ship's going down. It just means like all in, everybody's all in. So what does all in attitude mean?
You're giving it all you got.
What does it mean to you, Miranda?
Oh, well, yeah, you're giving it all you got. You give 100%, 110% every opportunity that you get. You're not phoning it in. To me, I think all in encompasses all of the other values in a way, because I think you have to be all in order to really feel and believe all of the other ones that exist. And for me, all in is going, when you talk about it eliminates the crazy, you know, if I bring it down to the ground level a little bit more, when you have a team of people that are all in, there's no back channeling. Yep. There's no water cooler gossip talk. There's no happy hour after work because everybody is fully here, fully engaged for this vision, this mission, this purpose that we're all driving towards. And we're going to give it 110% every single day. And it kind of layers in, right? To give greater than get. It doesn't mean I don't know what I'm going to get in return on the other end of it, but I'm here and I'm all in and I'm going to do this with my team in mind, you know, encompassing that we before me. I'm going to give it all I've got and make sure that I show you that I'm going to lead by example and that there's nothing that I'm going to ask of you that I wouldn't do myself. And we're going to get the results. Like to me, everything else within our values just feeds directly into this space of all in. So it's always made complete sense to me that it's your, you know, self-proclaimed king value.
Yeah.
Because it really encompasses all of it. And it just goes to show that when you have somebody that's, it doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean you agree 100% with everything. It doesn't mean you move through the stages of change on new ideas without having to actually go through the process of understanding and learning and committing. but you're totally on board with the process of getting there.
Yeah.
Because you're all in. So I absolutely love it.
One more thing. I'll just add.
I want to drive.
Wait. Go ahead. You're opening the door. I can't close it yet.
I know, but we can't take 2 hours.
Yes, we can. This is that important. Okay. One last thing I'll say about all in attitude. And this is not a job for me. It's a calling. I feel like God gave me this incredible opportunity to create value. And so it's way more than a job. And you would love for people to look at it the same. You can't ask them, but like, I've had so many team members come to me and say, this is not a job for me. Like, this is what I was meant to do. And that's the all in-ness of it. And part of it is on the leader to create that safety, that consistency. But one of the challenges you have in any business is when you bring in very talented people and you don't challenge them and you don't keep them engaged, they can be poached. They can leave. And so people are always like, aren't you afraid? I did lose team members early in ACT to other companies, but we didn't have this value in place. It wasn't demonstrated by me. It wasn't stated by me. We didn't cultivate that. So when people were looking for another salary, yeah, they went somewhere else. They were looking for something better. Like, I tell people, like, if you find something better, I'm going to be the first person to high five you. But I challenge you. You won't. I hope you won't. And if they do, shame on me. So all in attitude is like, I have a responsibility again to create an environment where people don't want to go. They want to give their heart and soul to this. Now, let me be super clear about this one too. We are very clear on work-life balance. I don't want anybody at ACT Dental after 5 o'clock, even though I don't want anybody emailing in the week. They do that on their own if they want to. But like, I think this is an important piece of it, that it's a super glue to the rest of them. Anything else you would add before we go on the next one?
Well, I just think that's a great point that you just made of all in doesn't mean that you're willing to sacrifice your well-being or burnout, or, you know, you're taking work home and it's compromising your family life. It's the opposite of that. It is that you are so, for me, I can speak to this, is I am so fulfilled through the work that we do here and what we create for clients and what we create for each other. It's one of the healthiest, most wonderful groups of colleagues I've ever worked with. And I think it just goes to show that you can be all in. I mean, I am all in all the time. But what I love is that you also support that work-life balance and knowing that family comes first, you know, core value of mine at home. Yep. My king value is family first. And so knowing that I work for an organization where like I can be all in and I can encompass all of these values and still be able to live fully within the values that I have for myself and for my family means a lot to me. So thank you for that.
Two more things, please, because this is helpful. You know, one of the biggest challenges I have is when people say patients come first. Patients don't come first. They come second. And it's easy to say your team members should come first. And here at ACT Dental, clients do not come first. Team members come first. And so we tell team members, you don't need to explain. When your daughter has something, go. Like, if you need to get home, go. We got your back. And that starts with a thinking at the top. And so, you know, you have to take care of your most important asset, which is not your billboard. It's not your resources. It's not your technology. It's not your patience. It's not your credit. It's your people. Your people are your secret sauce. And so that's big. And then I'll end with one last thought, and I promise I'll be quiet. When you love what you do with people you love, for people you love, that's the trifecta. And so you don't get that. You have to work your ass off for that. And it's so fun. So what's
Kirk,
next?
This has been absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you.
I feel like that maybe was your final thoughts, but maybe just wrap us out with some final thoughts. Let's tie it into this. Like, we're going places,
right?
You know, ACT is going places. ACT is now a part of Smile Source. We are the Best Practices Association, and we now have coaching as a solution for private practices. And we now have the Smile Source marketplace that's a solution for private practices. And it's really exciting where this is going. So tell me a little bit about how, you know, we talk about filtering decisions through our core values. Tell us a little bit about how core values play into this concept of better practice, better life, and this vision, this place we're going as a greater organization towards just being more helpful to the dental community.
Right. So if you think about core values and just what you listen to, like, I think dentistry, number one, we all got lucky or blessed, however you want. Dentistry is the most noble profession ever. You're 50% there. It is truly one of the most noble professions ever. It's a good person industry, meaning values are very aware. So that's one piece of it. I mean, I look at some of my friends that are in law, or heaven forbid, you have a lot of friends that are realtors. They want to stab each other when they see each other parties. Like it's just not a good person industry. And please don't take that the wrong way if you're a realtor. Like, I think there's a lot of good people out there, but like, there's a lot of great people in this industry. And I feel like this, there are dentists that change lives and there are dentists that fix teeth, and both are, you know, different. I want to be on the changing lives side of things. And so when we set our sail to truly create better practice, better life, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of noise. And so we put together an amazing team of people, and we truly do want to change the world. And I think about this country. I'm going to go one elevation higher. Like, I love this country. And this country needs a lot of things. But one thing it really needs is it needs entrepreneurs. And I can go to bed every day knowing I'm helping the country, the soil that I live on, because we're developing young entrepreneurs to know how to build a business, to employ families, to build economies. I actually can see the work that we do every day, and it's so gratifying. And I think that's finding purpose in that. And as we grow this community to support independent practices that truly make economies work, we've partnered with SmileSource. We actually have other people that are like, I want to be part of this. If you're interested in creating something that matters, that lasts a long time, and I heard our fearless leader say it today, Dr. Barrett Straub, he said, I truly believe 20 years from now, people are going to look back and go, man, that BPA movement, that really did save private practice. Because there's a lot of false narratives going on around private practice or independent practice. It's alive and well, my friends, and it's thriving. Not that group practice is bad or anything like that. I don't want to hear that. But if you're on the side of a fence where you want to create an amazing practice, do what you love with who you love, for you love, I'm here to tell you, you can do it as a dentist, but you can't do it alone. You need the group. You need, everybody's got to be part of something. Being an entrepreneur is lonely. Have you ever tried it? It's terrible to talk to yourself. 80% of self-talk is negative. So don't talk to yourself. Get in a group of people that are invested in saying, hey, listen, don't do that. Let me help you with that. And that's why we created the BPA. And people always ask me, like, why did you call it the BPA? Because I'm 55. I didn't want it to be called Act Dental. I wanted to leave something. Bill Robbins, I'll leave with this thought. Bill Robbins, who's one of my favorite mentors of all time, he said this in the first time I met him. He said, Kirk, you know what our primary responsibility is in dentistry? I'm like, I don't know. What is it? He said, we got to leave the campfire in better condition than we found it. And I'm telling my family that. They're like, well, Dad, we don't camp. I'm like, that's not the point. We want to leave this profession in better condition than we found it. And that's why we created the Best Practices Association. And so we welcome you. We challenge you to join us on this journey. And I promise you, with every step, every person you meet, you're going to create a better practice and a better life. So get ready. We're coming to a town near you, and we want you to be a part of something special. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Miranda, give us some final thoughts, or else we could be here for another hour.
My final thoughts are, this was fantastic. I really thoroughly enjoyed getting inside your head and inside your heart. And I hope that everybody listening did too. I feel really passionate about being a part of this organization, and the core values were a big part of what drew me to being here. And they're definitely a big part of what is drawing me to stay. And I couldn't be more excited about where we're going and this idea of being able to help even more doctors. I'm with you. We talk to them every day and we hear their heart stories. And it's really impactful to know that you're making a difference on somebody's life, which then layers even further out into their families and their team members and their team members' families, and how far that reach can really go. It's a special thing to be a part of. So thanks so much for your time today, Kirk. You know, we're in like the 900 and something episode. I don't know how this is happening. I don't know how this is working, but it's working. So if you... you loved this, make sure you come back for more. You stick around while we say goodbye to everybody.
That is amazing.
No, you close us out. You close us
no,
out.
No, you're doing good. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. That's so good. You're the host here. Keep going.
Until we hear from you again or we see you again, keep listening and keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day.
That was amazing. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.